I'm here with Tony Rothellauer. And I guess most of our listeners know you by name, at least. We've featured quite many of your blog posts.
Really?
Yeah, extensive blog posts, especially on the peer reviewing definition issue that we will talk about in a minute. And we've also talked a lot about the Open Air project on the podcast. So it's actually nice to meet you. You are here with a poster on the Open Science Conference, and maybe you can give us a bit of the rundown. What's it about, and what have you been dealing with in the last couple of months?
Yeah, sure. So the poster is an overview of our activities with Open Peer Review within Open Air. And Open Air is an enabling infrastructure for open science and open access in Europe. And as part of this, we wanted to look at Open Peer Review to see, first of all, to define what it is, then to survey researcher, reviewer, and editor attitudes, and then also to run some small-scale experiments with some open access and open science publishers. So the first activity was to define open peer review, which you mentioned before, and this was a literature review where I found 122 definitions of open peer review within the literature. And then analyzed these against a total of 7 different open peer review traits, the main ones being open identities, where the reviewer is aware of the author's identity. The author is aware of the reviewer's identity. The next was open reports, where review reports are published, made public. And the third is open participation, where the pool of reviewers is open, so everybody is invited to review rather than just the editor inviting 2 particular reviewers. And I found that, first of all, open peer review is not well defined, or too well defined, because I found it, actually within the literature 22 different constellations of all these 7 different traits. So there's a lot of imprecision about when we talk about open peer review, and a lot of conflict about what it actually means.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's contested ground, the term open peer review. The term open peer review stems from the early 90s, and then it was nothing to do with the open movement, with open access, open science. It was just, as the opposite metaphor to blind review.
Okay.
So, this still persists in the definition of open peer review as open identities peer review. But then with the open access movement and the movement to speed up science, to get manuscripts online earlier, before peer review with preprints, the movement to make the processes more transparent, so to publish the reviews, and to increase widened participation beyond these closed, quite often quite closed circles within particular academic fields. These are all aspirations of open science, and all these aspirations of open science were then brought to bear on peer review and got assumed under this title of open peer review.
What will be the next step in this process? I mean, you mentioned that you've gone through the configurations and identified the key aspects or the key achievements of open peer review. What will be the next step to bring that to maybe to use or to actually find something and have the common sense of the vast majority of different definitions to come up with something that can be relied upon?
Mm-hmm. Well, the next step has to be more experimentation and more analysis of whether experimentation with these different configurations of, so if there are 22 different ways to combine all these traits into open peer review systems, which of those systems are best, or if any, which are better than the system we have at the moment,
yeah.
and in which context and for which purposes. And the evidence base that we have at the moment to make decisions on this is just vanishingly small. And it's that's true of peer review in general, but it's especially true of open peer review. And so we just need more experimentation, more innovative publishers trying out these innovative techniques, and then we need more rigorous scientific analysis of do these techniques lead to better review, and in the end, better papers. Does it, on costs, for example, does it take less time? Or is it less expensive? And if not, how much more expensive is it? Is it worthwhile to... all these kind of cost-benefit analyses, when you think that the scientific literature industry is worth $10 billion a year, and that the open peer review is really the gatekeeper to the scientific literature, the fact that there isn't a lot more investment in research on how that peer review works is, to me, almost scandalous.
Did you already come up with also a definition of what better peer review is? I mean, what is the best peer review that we should strive for?
No. because I think that it's always going to be... The best system will always be best for a defined group, for a defined purpose. And so there are a lot of differences between disciplines, and a lot of differences are about attitudes. But you can't just discount them and say, well, and at the same time, are we talking about peer review for... grant proposals, or are we talking about peer reviews for articles or for conference papers and so on? So, no. What I can say is that from the results of our survey, we can say what the people who responded to our survey really responded to from these open peer review traits, and what they didn't respond to. So, the most popular traits within our survey were in all cases, well over 50% were either believed that it would make peer review much better or better, is final version commenting, so being able to comment on a final version of record publications, publishing review reports, and the most highly regarded trait was actually open interaction, so allowing or facilitating interaction between the author and the reviewer to open up a dialogue to work on the improvement of the paper. And what they really didn't want, only 31% actually thought that this would make it better, and more than 50% thought that it would make it worse. This trait is open identities. So the idea of reviewers being known to authors. It's not that they're against this idea in principle, but the idea that this should be made mandatory, like in order to review for somewhere, you have to reveal your identity. Our respondents really push back against,
which would kind of contradict that they also want to have a more close dialogue in between the reviewer and the author, right?
Yeah. It's very strange, but. The thing about the internet, of course, is that behind the screen, no one knows you're a dog.
All right.
And so, and this is the thing about all these traits, is that you can have these different traits independent of each other, and that you could open up interaction. But of course, that within a larger or the most open model, you would have open identities online linked to open interaction, very much like you have with F1000, for instance. Whether this is the best system or not, in terms of producing better papers and improving the rigor of the scientific record, these are questions which there is just not enough evidence to answer.
Would you say that something like that could be a kind of a blueprint for a technical solution for peer review? So the different key aspects, for example, being features that you can switch on or off depending on the context you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is kind of already the case. So, for example, you can already sign your review report if you want to. If you're a reviewer, you can just put your name, and some editors will remove it, but many, many won't. And so you can have open identities. But I suppose if you're a publisher, you want to know what works and what works in which circumstances, and what your authors and your reviewers and your editors think, what they want as well. So being able to have a more rigorous framework for especially smaller scale publishers to say we want this trait but we don't want this, and we ask our authors, what do you think of all these, and they say we don't want this and this. This would be very helpful. Yeah.
If people are interested, where can they find more information on this?
So the Open Air portal is openair.eu. There's a lot of information on our blog, blogs.openair.eu, and you find us on Twitter as well.
Cool. Tony, thanks.
Thanks, Matthias.